Up next on Inside the Cleveland Browns, we give thanks for some of our favorite stories this year, including following Joe Thomas on a day in the life of an NFL lineman.
Browns great Brian Sipe reminisces about the cardiac kids from his hometown of San Diego.
Danny Shelton answers the most important questions in our Browns Blitz.
And Joel Bitonio tells us his inspiring story of overcoming the odds.
All that and more coming up on Inside the Cleveland Browns.
Good morning, Dog Pound. Welcome to Inside the Cleveland Browns.
Well, I don't know about you, but I cannot believe Thanksgiving is almost here. Someone is excited, and I can't believe we're almost halfway through the season.
I know. It feels like training camp was just yesterday. I remember Joe Thomas letting us follow him around for a day, and it was probably one of my favorite segments. Maybe that's why I remember it so much. Let's take a look back.
This is my ninth training camp with the Browns, and it's always an exciting time of the year. It's always a little hot, a little hotter than you want. But it's always fun coming out and practicing and getting to see the fans. And I think that always adds a little bit of motivation when you go out to practice every day and you see the fans. And they're twice as excited as you are to go out and watch practice. So that always gives you a little boost of energy. Just do your best in the day that we're in. And pretty soon you'll wake up and camp will be over and we'll be getting ready for the first game. Once training camp starts, the coaching staff, the strength coach, they've got occasional workouts that we'll do to just to try to maintain some strength and knock out some soreness. I'm always excited to see the other linemen. It's always fun hanging out with those guys. I don't really see many of them in the off season or during the summer, so being able to come back and enjoy some brotherhood in the locker room and outside of meeting time and outside of practice is always a good time. I also really enjoy seeing Doug Deacon at training camp because I get to hear how he used to practice in training camp when it was 100 degrees and 12 inches of snow. And he walked uphill both ways to practice. It was like 6 miles. He just likes to tease me how practice is so easy and how I never practice compared to him. He's a great resource to have out there as a guy who played as long as he did for the Browns and somebody that knows a lot about the history of the Browns and the history of the team and who lived it, really. Good morning. Good, how are you? We got the JT special right here. I invented it. It's a breakfast of champions. It's yogurt, granola, and fruit. Nobody's ever done this before. You better B-roll that. You're going to use that. And then the secret, flaxseed. Got my own reality show. Oh, sorry. English muffins are back. Morning, morning.
Morning.
What do you got there?
Morning. A little omelet.
All right, Dog Pound. Let's get ready for another day.
Well, no one believes that Joe Thomas is one of the best to play his position, more so than his teammates.
Yeah, and Joel Bitonio was so ecstatic to be drafted by the Browns because he was going to get to learn and grow alongside Joe. Now, earlier this year, we traveled to Long Beach, California to learn more about Joe Bitonio's inspiring story. Check it out.
His work ethic, second to none. He gets it.
Punishing kids on the field. He's, you know, tenacious, tough finisher. He finishes blocks. You know, his guy ends up on the ground most of the time.
He was just the hardest worker there, and that he would just get it done.
I've been coaching for 11 years, and it's rare you get to coach kids that size with that ability.
We've all become Cleveland fans here now in Long Beach. You know, we've adopted you guys because he's our favorite son. We absolutely love Joel around here.
I grew up in Long Beach, California, pretty much 75 degrees and sunny all year round. I started playing roller hockey, but I was really interested in football, basketball, you know, growing up. So going into high school, I've been playing, you know, basketball for 4 or 5 years and football for 2. And I really wanted to play both, you know, and I wasn't a huge guy going into high school. I was like maybe 5'10", 5'11", 180, 190 pounds.
And a lot of people don't have the courage to face what they don't do well. And he had the courage to look at those things. I'm going to turn that into a positive. So, the very first thing was his footwork.
So I thought, here's a multi-sport kid, and if he gets to be a little bit bigger, he can be pretty special as a lineman because you have to have great feet, and of course, that's what he ended up having.
You talk about his parents and their support of the family and their love for their boy playing. They were off the charts. One of the things that his dad and his mom were constantly yelling at was hard work, hard work, and you'd hear it 1,000 times a game.
I remember in the summertime I would have 1 year, I think I was going to my sophomore year, I was playing like JV and sophomore basketball, and I had football practice. So it was like 3 2-hour practices a day.
And there was a time when we said, hey, maybe want to maybe focus on football, but it turns out really that basketball helped him. He had the work ethic, and it was about him just growing and getting polished up in college and doing all those little things that made him turn him into a pro. But his work ethic was second to none.
I knew he could play at the next level. So when he was a senior, he didn't get a lot of looks because a lot of people just didn't have a lot of film on him. So I kept pushing and I got a call from UC Davis. They were very interested in him. And they actually ended up offering him. And then I said, respectfully, I know he can play at a higher level. So I called my friend Nigel Burton, who was a defensive coordinator in Nevada at the time. I said, Nigel, you got to look at this kid.
Nevada came and they offered me a scholarship, and it felt like the place for me to be.
Joel had a really hard time being such a loyal kid. He had a hard time decommitting from UC Davis. Ultimately, I remember having a conversation with him by the locker room, what he wanted from his college experience. Ultimately, he wanted to play on ESPN. He wanted to play in a big stadium. And obviously, UC Davis wasn't going to provide that experience for him.
So I went home and I talked to my dad, and he really, liked UC Davis. And he kind of just told me, he's like, well, if you want to do that, you got to make the hardest phone call of your life.
When we come back, find out how Joel overcame the odds to make it in the NFL in part 2 of his story. Stay tuned, Dog Pound. We'll be right back. Joe Thomas tries to get you to have the best 2 minutes of your life.
And Browns legend Brian Sipe talks about winning a championship. Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Joel Bitonio sat down with us and shared his very personal and encouraging story. Here's part 2 of that.
My husband, I think from the time that we met, I knew that he wanted a family and that family was just going to be us.
Work ethic-wise, our dad always taught us that you had to work hard.
I definitely try my hardest whenever I do anything, like going to the court or anything like that.
When he chased down Hester, I got about 8 texts from all of my former players that played with him, and they're like, Coach, he chased down Hester, he never quits on a play. It really demonstrated the values and the characteristics that he had as a player that just never left him. He had that here. He would just never stop. His motor keeps going because it's been told to him that that's important.
I think that was one of the things that I took from my dad, is just outwork people. He said, if you work hard and you outwork people, you can really be successful in life. And someone's going to find you. Someone's going to look for you. You're going to get a chance.
He said that was the turning point of his football career. It hit a switch in him that propelled him, in a sense, to really just develop more and more as a physical football player. I think he probably had a little aggression inside of him, which is understandable.
It was one of those things where you're just angry about it, and you're sad. And football was the one consistent thing where I was like, man, I do this every day, And it kind of made me play a little angry. And as an O lineman, you kind of need that aggression. And so it kind of woke me up. And I wouldn't say I play angry now, but I use it there to develop the way I play now.
Like, I think that just fueled him. Like, he kind of took it upon himself to say, I'm going to take this as motivation, so my dad can be proud of me up above. Like, I'm going to do this for him.
Just before his senior year, we were getting phone calls all the time from people who wanted to be his agent, and that's when it was really hit home, like, oh my gosh, this could really happen.
It's got to be Marquise Lee, right?
Or another
Not
receiver.
Not necessarily.
Cody Latimer.
Okay.
Devontae Adams.
But it's got to be a wide receiver.
And then he gets a phone call, and he's like, shh, shh. And he looks at the phone, and then he's talking, and he's saying, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. And then we're all looking at the TV to see who's up next. And we're like, oh, my God, it's Cleveland. It's the Cleveland Browns. We had no idea.
With the 35th pick in the 2014 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Joel Bitonio, tackle, Nevada.
It was, I kind of felt for Mike at that point. I thought, this is cool, you know, and to have him see his son drafted was pretty cool.
And for me, it was really big that, like, my dad, like, I was like, man, he was the one that always told me, like, you know, people are like, oh, what do you want to do when you grow up? I'm like, I want to be a pro athlete. And he's like, he would tell me, I mean, he's like, why can't you be the 1%? You know, they're always like, oh, 1% or 1%. And he's like, why can't you be the 1%? And so to make it there, it was kind of like, I mean, all my coaches were so inspirational to me and my mom and my family. But, like, me and my dad made it. Like, we made it. When I made it, he made it, you know. And it was just one of those moments where I was like, God, I wish he was here, because I know he'd be the happiest, biggest Browns fan there is.
Well, getting to know Joel has been so much fun, especially in his second season. We are so happy that he's a Brown. Another player that we're pumped is a Brown is Danny Shelton, and we'll get to know him a lot more as the years come. But this Browns Blitz is a perfect way to start.
My first celebrity crush was Jennifer Lopez. My perfect pizza would have pepperoni, sausage, Hawaiian ham, Canadian bacon, whatever else type of meat they could put on it, and then some mushroom. If I were a supervillain, I'd be the Red Hulk. My favorite movie is Rush Hour 1, 2, and 3.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I just wonder if Danny found somewhere in Cleveland to order that pizza.
Well, we know that Papa John's has the Hawaiian ham for sure. Maybe they will be getting a call from Danny very soon. By the way, it looks like he can eat a couple.
Yes, and you can order through the Browns 50 right. code and get it 50% off.
After every Browns home game. In fact, maybe I should go do that right now.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Now, the Joe Thomas Hour is...
award-winning.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah. And it's everyone's favorite segment. So we wanted to take you back to where it all began, before the Emmys.
Allegedly.
Check out the very first Best 2 Minutes of Your Life with Christian Kirksey.
Hey, this is Joe Thomas here. The Cleveland Browns production team asked me if I wanted to have my own segment on their show. And I said, only if I can ask whatever questions I want to whoever I want. And they said yes. So let's get to it. All right, we're here with Christian Kirksey, the greatest linebacker in NFL history, and we've got a few questions for him on the Joe Hour. First question for you, Mr. Kirksey, is what school did you go to?
Went to the University of Iowa.
Now, when you were there, did you guys ever beat Wisconsin?
No, we didn't, but we're still a better school.
Oh, okay. Well, the record shows that they're obviously better. All right, first question is, what is your favorite cafeteria lunch food of all time? We're not talking Browns cafeteria. We're talking third grade when you were knee-high to a grasshopper. What did you get excited about in school?
I got to go with the mozzarella sticks.
The mozzarella sticks, yeah. A good choice. Yeah. What about the chicken ring dings? Did you guys ever have those?
No, we never had the chicken ring dings. Okay. But it's pretty good.
Well, you're missing out. They were pretty tasty. Anyways, so it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you're at the local Leprechaun and they're looking for somebody to sing karaoke. What's your go-to karaoke song?
Ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low, ain't no river wide enough, baby. Yeah.
Okay, all right, I like it. That's good. Okay, here's some trivia questions. Since I know you went to a Big Ten school, so you're obviously very intelligent and probably one of the smartest guys on the team easily. So who was the first president of the United States?
George Washington.
Very, very good, very good. How about, this is the hard one to follow up, the second president?
Abraham Lincoln.
Ooh! Wow. Ooh, not even the fifth. He was actually the 16th president.
I'm not good with my president.
Not so good, but do you know what Abraham Lincoln was famous for?
The big hat.
Well, maybe they didn't teach history at Iowa. That's okay. No big deal. All right, we'll hit you with another one. All right. It's funny that this question came up here because apparently you're really good at dancing. So who's better, you or Christian Kirksey at dancing?
Man, well, Chris Kirksey can dance. Christian Kirksey is he's the ultimate dancer.
Okay, all right. So what's the one go-to dance? If you're trying to impress a girl, you've got her, you're talking to her like at the school dance, you're drinking a few punches, and you're going to show her some moves. What would you go to?
Oh, man, I probably have to just hit the Dougie real fast.
The Dougie. All right, let's see what the Dougie looks like. What's your version of Teach me how to Dougie. Teach me how to Dougie. There we go. Okay, not too bad, not too bad. I know you're a big fan of the Montez Renault products. I can tell you're looking really fresh right now. What's the one go-to product? Look at this, he's got them all in his locker. Okay, so this is the go-to. What's the go-to product?
It's the face moisturization.
So you just put a little dab, like that.
No. Smooth and clean.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's what the average guy can do if they want to look like Chris Kirksey.
If you want to look like Carlos Dansby, that's what you do. You put this on. Shout out to Carlos Dansby, the founder of Montez Renault.
Well, that's awesome. Well, thanks for being on the show, Christian. You were the inaugural guest, and you did a great job.
I appreciate that. Go Hawks.
Well, don't go anywhere, Dogtown. When we return, Brian Sipe sits down with us in his hometown of San Diego. You won't want to miss it.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Now, this next story is one of your favorites because I know you love Brian Sipe.
I do. We have an incredibly storied franchise with a number of Hall of Famers. But mention Browns legend Brian Sipe and everyone smiles. I know I do. Mm-hmm. Well, we found out why Brian is such a fondly remembered alum when we visited him earlier this year in his hometown of San Diego.
Who was the NFL MVP in 2004?
Peyton Manning, good job.
Yeah, nice. Who was the NFL MVP in 1980?
Grandpa!
Grandpa!
Yeah,
that's
good job. Who else was alive in 1980?
The most honored player in the league in 1980, Sipe cashed in his nickel and dime reputation and silenced the critics forever.
The arm doesn't make the quarterback. My arm is certainly sufficient enough to get the ball where it has to go. What's important to me are the people that are around me. I've got a good supporting cast.
Go! 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 He's out! He's gone! He's gone, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm living here in Del Mar, California with my wife, Jerry. Jerry and I have been blessed with six grandkids. I'm coaching the boys up a little bit. I've got them coached up on the passing tree. I never let them draw their routes on their hands. They got to give me a number so we know what the... So we're talking the same language. I hope they're learning a lot from their grandpa. We certainly have a wonderful family, and football's just a part of it.
Go Reese! Go Reese! Reese is coming! It's Reese! Reese!
They always talk about the Cleveland Browns, want to know about the Cleveland Browns, and now they have a chance not only to see their first pro game, but it's going to be with the Browns. There's something unique about Browns fans. It's just in their blood. I wasn't as recognizable out here. Southern California is just Southern California. But boy, if you ever ran into a Browns fan, it was lights out. Real close friends of ours are the Shirks, Jerry Shirk. Browns fans should remember that name. So anytime anything Browns is happening, we're always with the Shirks. I get asked a lot about why the Cardiac Kids were so special. And it's not an easy thing to explain. But the one thing that was so special about our team, I think, was that late in the games, when we absolutely needed to focus and get something done, that's exactly what those guys were doing. I mean, I saw it in the huddle. We could sense it on the sideline. So much of what happens in the last 2 minutes is, you know, they think of all the theatrics and the great plays and great catches and stuff like that. Well, we don't talk about those things in the huddle. What we talk about is just our assignments. You know, let's just do this. All we need is one big play, one or two big plays, and this thing's going to break wide open. And there was absolute focus, and I think there was an absolute belief that we could get it done. I've never been around a team that was like that, that had that mindset, just a certainty and an understanding about what had to be done. We weren't successful all the time, but certainly the fans remember us being successful most of the time.
Locked down to 34
4 seconds.
Time to get nervous. Sipe throwing to Logan.
He got it on the 20. 4-5 touchdown, Dave Logan!
I think that there was just a confidence that somebody was going to make a play. Somebody was going to make a play. And there was no doubt in anybody's mind. I think we realized that you have to take chances in those situations. Guys were comfortable doing that. We would practice for it, and we did it. We did it.
Another pressure play for Brian Seiden.
Seiden to throw. To Newsom, man.
Touchdown! He got it! The corner of the end zone! Brian Seiden has now thrown for 4.
Another cardiac finish.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Waiting for that championship. I'm waiting for the championship. I wait until people can stop talking about the cardiac kids as much as I love them, you know? Let's have something else to celebrate. I've been blessed in this life. I want people to know, first of all, who my God is. And then hopefully look at my life and say it's a reflection of that relationship. I also hope everybody understands how grateful I am.
Trouble, Dom. Dom, you got trouble. Trouble. Bang. You got to catch that ball.
I'm off.
How cool would it be to see the grandson of Brian Sipe suit up for the Browns in about 20 years?
Now that would be special. I know Inside the Cleveland Browns would love that story.
Well, we would love that, just like we love all of you. And speaking of that, have a very happy and safe Thanksgiving, and go Browns.